Psalms 145. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read just a few verses. Psalms 145:1 tells us, a song of David, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day, the psalmist says, I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And here's a verse I want us to think about. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. This morning, on the eve of Memorial Day, I'd like to take a few verses of Scripture and speak about that. Romans chapter, hold your place there and turn to Romans chapter 13, if you will. Romans 13, verse 7 specifically. Romans 13, 7, look what it says. It says, pay to all what is owed to them. There it is on your verses, on your screen as well. Pay to all, or render to all, what is owed to them. Taxes, to whom taxes are owed. Revenue, to whom revenue is owed. Respect, to whom respect is owed. Honor, to whom honor is owed. That's what the Scripture tells us, you and I. In this passage, Paul is speaking about submission to authority. He says that we Christians are to render or to pay what is due to all of them, whether it's the authority that should be or authority that follows Christian principles or not. We are under authority because God is essentially over all. Taxes are not offerings, special offerings that we do to support the government. It's a moral obligation, a spiritual obligation, a responsibility to pay taxes to wherever taxes may be due. We're to render honor when honor is due. That's what it tells us here. But there is a much larger principle. Christians, we are to give everyone what they're owed, what we owe them, or what's owed of them. Whether it's money, whether it's taxes, whether it's respect, whether it's honor. That's why we as believers, we understand that we see the bigger picture more than the rest of mankind. We understand that we respect our elders. We understand that we respect property. We respect people. We respect babies in the womb. We respect God. We respect things. The world doesn't see it that way. They see it more through selfish, their own grandiose eyes instead of the way God wants you and I to see it. The Bible tells us we're to honor and respect. We are not to forget, but to remember things. And so, speaking of remember, I remember a story of a man named John. John had a memory problem. Y'all ever had a memory problem? John had a memory problem. One day, John ran into Bill, and he said, Bill, you remember I used to have a memory problem? Bill said, yeah, I remember. He said, I don't have a memory problem anymore. I went to a seminar, and I learned how to remember things, and I don't have that problem any longer. And Bill said, what was the name of the seminar? And so John turned around and looked at his wife, and he said, then he turned back and looked at Bill and said, Bill, what's the name of that long stem flower with thorns on it? He said, you talking about a rose? Yeah. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that seminar that I went to? That's the way we are. We forget things real easily, don't we? There are events in this world, though, in this life, that we shouldn't forget. And Memorial Day is one of them. Amen? This special day started at the end of the Civil War. And within a few years, the practice of placing flowers on military graves spread throughout both the North and the South, and was being called by almost everyone. You remember what it used to be called? Decoration Day. Then after World War I, it became a national holiday and dedicated to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and for the freedoms you and I enjoy. And you could also say it's a day to remember those who've gone on in our own life, in a way. In a sense, it's our loved ones too, as we remember how special they were. So let us today remember a few things. Let me give you number one for you and I to remember. Remember what we owe the past. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 tells us, and I have it on the screen, remember what we owe the past. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says, remember also your Creator. In the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near to which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. You and I know it's a beautiful thing to see a young person remember the Creator in their youth. Instead of wait till they get older as we are and wiser, it's really a great thing if they can grasp the wisdom of God and the beauty of God and the love of God at a young age. Scriptures tell us to remember our Creator even as we're young, because we'll become more wise, obviously. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 tells us, take care, then take care. Y'all ever told your children to take care? You know, that's a biblical phrase there. Take care. It means beware, lest you forget the Lord. Take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God wants you and I to remember. We're to beware. We're to be cautious. We're to be wise. We're to be obviously what He wants us to be, lest we forget who God is. Deuteronomy chapter 24 teaches us. I don't think I have it, but here's what it teaches us, and I'll share that verse in just a moment. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, God told them. Deuteronomy chapter 25 says, remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. So God wants us, you and I, to remember what we owe the past, what we owe our forefathers, what we owe our parents and grandparents and those before them, what we owe those who fought the ultimate price for our freedom. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you. Your elders, they will explain to you. What a beautiful thing it is for you and I to sit down with our children, or perhaps one with you, some of you with your grandchildren or great grandchildren, and to share a little bit of wisdom, impart a little wisdom to them about what God's done in your life and how He's moved you from point A to point B, or He's worked in your life in such a beautiful, loving way. And maybe at the time it wasn't loving, but as you look back, you see how the finger of God, the hand of God, carried you through whatever you were going through at the time. And now you can impart that wisdom into the younger generation, the generation to come. The Apostle Paul instructs you and I in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. He says this, we were separate once from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. And there, in the phrase, I underlined that and made it, put it in bold just for emphasis, so that you and I realize before we knew Christ, we were without hope and without God. What the I can't imagine. There's nothing worse than being without those two things. Without hope and without God. And you and I know if you're without God, you're without hope. You may have what the world has to offer. We may have materialism. We may have fame and affluence and money and all of those temporary possessions. But without God, we're without hope. Ladies and gentlemen, history has meaning. And if we forget about it, it will be to our peril. Should the Jews forget the Holocaust? 6 million Jews exterminated or killed? 1 million of them children. Should we forget over 50 million babies that's been born just from being in the womb? Since 1973, on Memorial Day, should we forget over 1 million soldiers have died since the Revolutionary War in 1775? I think not. Let me give you real quickly five things that we should not forget. We should never forget this, the most important thing in this world, and that is our salvation. Amen? We should never forget that. Every time you pray, you should say, Lord, thank you for my salvation. Don't forget that. You would not be where you are. You wouldn't be on your way to heaven. You wouldn't have a place prepared for you if you didn't have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. If he didn't die on the cross for you, and if he didn't convict you, and you didn't repent of your sins, and you didn't believe, and you put your faith and trust in him, you wouldn't have salvation, and you'd be on your way to a devil's hell. This day is the top of all days. There's none better. Psalms chapter 40, verse 2 tells us, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, it says, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. In other words, he saved me is what the psalmist says. Never forget that day. Most important day for you and I to never forget. Greatest day ever. Second thing you and I shouldn't forget, according to Scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 tells us, you and I should not forget our vows. I'm not just talking about marriage, any vows. And our commitments. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 4 says, when you vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it. In other words, pay it. Don't defer it, but pay it, he says. For God hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. God says it's better not even vow. Don't even make a commitment. It's better to do that than not keep it. We should also remember that we should never forget. Obviously, we should not forget God's Word, the Trinity, God, God in three persons, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't forget His people even. Nehemiah chapter 4 talks about that. Revelation chapter 3 talks about that. We should not forget, obviously, that is super extremely important. Psalms chapter 71 tells us that we should not forget our parents. I think that's part of one of the Ten Commandments of honoring your father and mother. Don't forget them. They're gone. They're in our memory past. But should there some of the things that they taught us, whether it was perfectly, obviously it wasn't perfect. There's some things that they showed us or they instilled in us to help us become better. Our parents. And then I think the last thing that God wants you and I, and it's kind of the principle of Scripture, is our soldiers and our heroes, those that have gone before us. We're to teach our children to respect those in uniform. In God we trust is our national motto. It's engraved in the stone at the House of Representatives and our capital, and it's printed on our currency. We adopted this motto because Christian men and women on Christian principles founded this great nation. And clearly, it's documented throughout history. God is our pledge. God is our national, in our national anthem. God is in our patriotic, most of our patriotic songs, and in our founding documents. We honor Jesus' birth. We honor Jesus' death. We honor Jesus' resurrection as holidays. We turn to Him in times of prayer, in times of crisis. God's part of our culture, despite what this world wants you and I to believe. We have parades, we have picnics, we have barbecues, we wave our flag proudly. There is so much more that we could talk about never forgetting. But let me tell you another truth, that not only should we remember what we owe the past, but we should remember what we owe the future. We stand at a crossroad this morning. A crossroad between the past and the future. Our debt is not just to the past, though. Our debt is to the future. We owe future generations. You owe your children, your grandchildren, your whomever you can influence. We owe it to them. Two specific things we owe. First of all, we owe the future generation to repeat the mighty works of God. That's what we owe them. However we can, as best we can, we owe it to future generations to repeat the mighty works of God, to keep them going. Do we do it perfectly? No, we don't do it perfectly because we're not perfect. But we're to do the best we can with what we got. I know all hell's breaking loose sometimes in our life. Everything is falling apart. Things are not working like we want them to. But still, you and I can carry out the mighty works of God through prayer, through humility, through submission, through so many ways. The mighty works of God. You remember what happened in the Old Testament to Joshua. By a series of great military victories, Joshua led the people of God to the promised land. And as long as he was alive, the nation served God. But things changed after Joshua died. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Judges for just a moment. A few more and we'll be through. Judges chapter 2. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Judges chapter 2. Notice what happens as we pick up the story there in Judges chapter 2. Tells us after Joshua, verse 6. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Let me stop there for just a second. In other words, they served God as long as Joshua and the elders were alive. Look at verse 8. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land of his inheritance. And let me kind of rush on a little bit. And after that, whole generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord or what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. Dear brothers and sisters, I say we're living in a generation, the younger generation, who has no sense of history, no sense of heritage, because what heritage and history has been passed down to you and I, there's no sense of what came before us in our world. Obviously, some are getting it, but the vast majority are not getting it. And it's a clear example of what happened in the Old Testament. And it's happening in our world, our society today. And you know what happened in the Old Testament? When they forgot what God had in store for them and what God wanted for them, they ended up in bondage, they ended up in slavery, they ended up in decline, in idolatry. You know, we have a biblical testimony that we should carry out the mandates of what God has for you and I. We ought to recount the great works of God and what God's done in our life. Let me give you this, the last one there. We owe the future to be bold. And some of our personalities are not bold. You may not have a strong personality. You don't like conflict. But in your way, however God prunes you and modifies you, it may be starting out being bold with your children or your grandchildren. Honey, that I don't know why you're letting my grandchild watch that on TV. Or honey, I don't know why you're allowing that. That's not healthy. That's not beneficial. It may be that. It may just be you surprising yourself at the doctor's office and somebody's saying some ugly words and you say, would you mind not saying those kind of talk like that? Or would you mind, if you're gonna use that word, you know, put the devil's name in front of it, not God's name in front of it, or something. You know, people just use this language like it isn't nothing in our society today. God wants you and I to be bold at times, not all the time. He don't want us to be brash or there are people that seem to want to correct everybody. Nobody wants to be around that kind of person. But somebody that just tries to help people see that they're not on the right track, or God's not, they're not, maybe it's a convicting thing. You speak up when you feel convicted. And God may be trying to work on them. And you don't know that, but you know God's convicting you. But we owe it to the future not to stop where we are, to press forward as much vigor and as much determination as they did in the past. We owe it to the future to be as bold as they were in the past. God's not given us a spirit of timidity, what the Scripture says, right? There are no days, this is not days for fearful cowards. These are no days for you and I to go idle or slow. We're to go all out as best we can with what we have and who we are for the Lord Jesus Christ. One final word. Let me give you that verse we started with. One generation shall commend God's works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. I pray that you and I will do that. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we know this Christian life is not a marathon. It's a relay race, Lord, and you have put us here. We're still here so we can pass the baton to our children, our grandchildren, our cousins, our neighbors, our co-workers, whoever it may be, Lord. Somebody needs us to hand the baton to them. And so, Father, may we run as best we can and hand off that baton to the next generation. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for Jesus, the ultimate sacrificer, the one who paid the ultimate victory over death, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for all the fallen. Lord, we would hope that all of them would have trusted you before they perish, Lord, but probably some didn't. But Lord, we pray for those who are alive today, Lord, that people would trust you wherever they are. One corner of the universe to the other, Lord. that people that are lost would repent and believe, Lord, because that's the only way. Trust and obey is the only way. To be happy in Jesus, repent and believe, the only way, by faith, to have our soul secured for eternity. Lord, if there is one today that's gotten off track here today, perhaps they've allowed the world to kind of snuff out their joy, the world to kind of just engulf them, and they've gotten too caught up in politics or whatever, society or culture or things of this world. And they've taken their mind, their eyes and their mind and their heart off you, Lord. They repent of that right now and ask for your forgiveness and come back home where they belong, Lord. But perhaps there is one that maybe even has never really surrendered, never truly surrendered. They can't sing, "I surrender all," because they've never truly done it. And Father, you've convicted them that if they lay their head at night and they die, their heart stops beating for the last time tonight, right now, that they will not make it to heaven. They will perish forever and ever in eternal hell. May they repent, Lord, and ask you to save them right where they sit and cry out to you in repentance and faith and believing what the Scriptures say about you and your Son and your Spirit. We love you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the ultimate sacrifice of soldiers and of your Son. In Christ's holy and righteous name, amen.